الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، praise is due to Allah, the Majestic, and we ask Allah to send His peace and His blessings, to grant peace and to exalt the mention of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the Day of Judgment. We continue with Sharh Usul al-Iman al-Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayhi, and we have been dealing lastly with the Iman and the belief in the messengers. We dealt with that and we said how we can practically benefit from our belief in the messengers. And tonight, inshallah, we'll be covering the topic of the Day of Judgment, or what is known as Al-Yawm Al-Akhir. قال الشيخ رحمه الله اليوم الآخر يوم القيامة الذي يبعث الناس فيه للحساب والجزاء. It is the last day, which is the day of resurrection, on which the people will be resurrected for reckoning and for recompense. For reckoning, which means accountability, and recompense, which means reward. So we could use one of these two definitions. Hisab means reckoning, which is also accountability. And jaza means recompense, which also means reward. And we know that reward could be good and could be bad. That's why it's incorrect to tell someone Jazakallah. It's incorrect, because it may be, you may be making dua against them. Allah says in Surah An-Naba, when He spoke about the people of Jahannam, He said, جَزَاءً وِفَاقًا, an equal recompense for them not preparing for the Day of Judgment. That was their jaza. So when you tell someone Jazakallah, meaning may Allah reward you, that could be with goodness, it could be with evil. And in a hadith, sahih hadith, when the evil person is in the grave, his bad deeds will appear to him in the form of a man who will be, he would be having a bad odor and bad appearance. He will say, "Who are you?" He will tell him, "I am your bad deeds." So then he will say that the deeds will tell him, "Jazakallahu sharran, Jazakallahu sharran." May Allah reward you with evil. You see, so the word Jazakallah is awaiting the final word, either khayran or sharran. So then when you see a brother or you want to tell him, you know, you appreciate what he's done, you say, Jazakallahu khayra. You must add that last one. طيب. وَسُمِّيَ بِذَلِكَ لِأَنَّهُ لَا يَوْمَ بَعْدًا حَيْثُ يَسْتَقِرُّ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ فِي مَنَازِلِهِمْ وَأَهْلُ النَّارِ فِي مَنَازِلِهِمْ. It was called as such the last day, because there's no day after it. It's the last day. Since the people of the inhabitants of paradise, they will go to their final dwelling, and the people of Jahannam, they will also go to their final dwelling. So it's the last day. There will be nothing afterwards, alaykum salam. The days are not to be considered as we consider the days right now. The presence of the people in Jannah is for eternity. So days becomes irrelevant, you know, because we use the days to count, to know the years and what have you. If you're in Jannah or Jahannam, then days and weeks are irrelevant, unless you're a believer who will be taken from Jahannam to Jannah eventually. طيب. والإيمان باليوم الآخر يتضمن ثلاثة أمور. Belief in the last day comprises three matters. الأول الإيمان بالبعث. First, belief in resurrection. وهو إحياء الموتى حين ينفخ في الصور النفخة الثانية فيقوم الناس لرب العالمين حفاة غير منتعلين عراة غير مستترين غرلا غير مخنتين. قال الله تعالى كما بدأنا أول خلق نعيده وعدا علينا إنا كنا فاعلين. Belief in the resurrection mainly means to believe that the dead will be given life again. upon the blowing into the trumpet for the second time. And everyone will go out of their grave, they will resurrect for the Lord of everything. Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of everything. Mankind, jinn, heavens, earth, everything. Sufatun غَيْرَ مُنْتَعِلِينَ. They will be barefooted, not wearing any shoes. No socks, no shoes, nothing. And they will be naked, and they will not be wearing any clothes. As us, we're not saying they, as if we're speaking about some other people. This is us also. Now, finally, they will be having the foreskin uncircumcised. When the Prophet ﷺ said this to Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, "O Messenger of Allah, men and women, undressed, men and women, naked, they will look at each other." The Prophet ﷺ told her, "O Aisha, verily the affair on that day is much greater than that." Yani people will be so overwhelmed, so distressed from the outcome of the Day of Judgment, that even though men and women will be around each other, undressed, no man will bother to look at a woman, and no woman will bother to look at a man. That tells you, and this is applicable to the believers and the non-believers. Everybody is going to be in this particular state of awe, you know, A-W-E, awe. You'll be in shock, and just you're just overwhelmed with feelings, emotions. I mean, can you even imagine it? That when you go to Hajj, which is the closest thing to having so many people in one location, it has a certain effect when you see so many people around, you know. It's not the same as when you're sitting at home comfortable individually with some few people in your household. So the presence of so many people is overwhelming. And this is only some, you know, a small number of people in one location. Then what about if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah will resurrect everyone from the time of Adam until the Day of Judgment? You cannot even count the people. And everybody will be standing on one plane, one flat surface. The hadith says that if you call the first one, then the last one will hear you. There'll be no hills, no mountains, no valleys, nothing. One flat surface. The earth will be replaced with this new earth, this new surface where the people will be resurrected. And everybody will be standing with the people who are like him. احشروا الذين ظلموا وأزواجهم. Allah says, gather those who were oppressive and their likes, their couples, not necessarily azwaj as in wives, but anyone who was on their same methodology, same footsteps. So the wrongdoers will be with each other and the righteous will be with each other and so forth. So we should strive that when we are on that day, we'll be resurrected with the righteous, with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the companions, with the tabi'een, the early generation of Muslims, those who did not play around with the deen. The deen wasn't a joke for them. Innovating wasn't something that was part of their practice. They were very keen on following the sunnah, living according to the lifestyle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without any additions or deletions. Very simple format or formula that many Muslims today have abandoned. And they have replaced it with some newer material, new teachings, new acts of worship. So the sunnah is abandoned and the innovation is introduced. And then the people no longer know the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال الله تعالى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, as we have began the creation the first time, as we began the creation the first time, نُعِيدُ. نُعِيدُ can have one of two meanings. Either we will repeat it, or we will bring back the creation as they were created the first time. وَعْدًا عَلَيْنَا. This is a promise binding upon us. Allah saying this about Himself Azza wa Jal. This is a promise binding upon us. إِنَّا كُنَّ فَاعِلِينَ. Truly, we shall do this. Truly, Allah promising that we would be brought back the same way we created the first time and the condition that was mentioned earlier. This was in Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 104. وَالْبَعْثُ حَقٌّ ثَابِتٌ دَلَّ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابُ وَالسُّنَّةُ وَإِجْمَاعُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Resurrection is a fact, is an undoubtful fact that has been indicated by the Quran, by the Sunnah, and the consensus of the Muslims. Consensus means unanimous agreement. meaning all those who are qualified to have an opinion regarding the deen, when all of them agree to a certain matter, then this is called ijma'. The Sahaba had an ijma', this is like revelation. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, my ummah, meaning those individuals, will never agree to some falsehood. So if they agree to a matter, then this becomes part of our deen in this particular fashion. As for those who came after, not necessarily. And if there had been some exceptions by some people who are deviant, then they are also not to be considered. We're talking about those who are qualified, like the a'immah of the madhahib and otherwise. طيب. قال الله تعالى ثم إنكم بعد ذلك لميتون ثم إنكم يوم القيامة تبعثون. سورة المؤمنون verses 15 and 16. Allah says, then after that, you will surely die. And this is everybody. Everybody, كل نفس ذائقة الموت. Every soul shall taste death. Then surely after that, you will be resurrected on the day of resurrection, يوم القيامة. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث المتفق عليه يحشر الناس يوم القيامة حفاة عراة غرلا. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith agreed upon, meaning narrated by both Bukhari and Muslim. When you hear agreed upon, متفق عليه, meaning both Bukhari, and Muslim narrated this hadith in their Sahih. Each one of them had a Sahih. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, people will be resurrected on the day of judgment, barefooted, naked, and uncircumcised. وأجمع المسلمون على ثبوته وهو مقتضى الحكمة حيث تقتضي أن يجعل الله تعالى لهذه الخليفة معادا يجازيهم فيه على ما كلفهم به على ألسنة رسله. The Shaykh said Muslims have unanimously agreed about the establishment of the Day of Judgment. It's one of the pillars of Iman. I mean, if you don't believe in the Day of Judgment, you cannot be considered to be a Muslim to begin with. And it is really what wisdom necessarily implies. Wisdom indicates that there should be accountability, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give for us a place to return. A place to return where we will be held accountable for our, how did we handle the revelation that was sent to us. What did we do regarding the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conveyed to us through the tongues of His messengers, from Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Adam to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قال الله تعالى أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Allah says in Surah Al-Qasas, Surah Al-Mu'minun, verse 115, do you assume that we created you in vain, يعني purposeless, without a purpose, and that to us you will not be returned? And of course this is a rhetorical question. No, we were created for a purpose, and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we shall return. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الذي فرض عليك القرآن لرادك إلى معاد. In Surah Al-Qasas, verse 85, Allah says to Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, verily, the one who has sent down or given you the Qur'an, meaning made it compulsory on you to follow it and teach it to others, shall return you to a ma'ad, which is a place of return, which is the hereafter. الثاني. So the first matter then that we said, it comprises three matters. The first one is al-ba'th, resurrection. Our belief in the last day comprises three matters. The first, resurrection, al-ba'th. Second, الإيمان بالحساب والجزاء, belief in recompense and reckoning, or accountability and being rewarded accordingly. يحاسب العبد على عمله ويجازى عليه وقد دل على هذا على ذلك الكتاب والسنة وإجماع المسلمين. Each slave of Allah will be reckoned for his deeds, and he will be recompensed for them as well. And this has also been indicated through the Quran and the Sunnah and the consensus of the Muslims. قال الله تعالى إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم. Everybody should know the surah. Verily, to us is their return. Then upon us is their accountability, or the reckoning, that Allah Azza wa Jalla will reckon His creation. He's the reckoner. This is Surah Al-Ghasiyah, verses 25 and 26. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ فَلَا يُجْزَى إِلَّا مِثْلَهَا وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. In Surah Al-An'am, verse 160, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu says, whoever brings a good deed will have equal to that 10 times. 10 times multiplied thereof as a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever brings a bad deed, then he will only be rewarded in equal deed to it, which is one bad deed. This is from the generosity of Allah. You do one good deed, it's automatically multiplied by 10. But you do one bad deed, it's only one bad deed. If each bad deed was multiplied by 10, we will be in trouble. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful, where the good deed is multiplied by 10, and the bad deed remains one as it is. وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And they will not be wrong. No one will be oppressed by Allah Azza wa Jal. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. In Surah Al-Anbiya, the Prophets, verse 47, Allah says, and we will place the balances of justice on the Day of Judgment, and no soul shall be oppressed in any way. Even if it is the weight of a grain of a mustard, then we will bring it, and sufficient are we as reckoners. يعني as in Surah Al-Zalzala, how does it end? فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. If you do the equal of one grain, or back then ذَرَّة was an ant. Now they discovered that ذَرَّة is an atom, right? You know, in science, the atom, which is from the cell and what have you. But back then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran according to the understanding of the people. And there was no ذَرَّة that we know today as an atom. So this was irrelevant to the ant, which was the smallest creature they could think of. So the dharra was actually one of the names of the ant. So even if it's the ant or even lesser than that, Allah Azza wa Jalla says that we will bring that. And whatever we produce, whether good or bad, even if it's that small, will be brought to account on the Day of Judgment. And as Allah described in Surah Al-Kahf, مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. The people will say, when they see the book of deeds, they say, what is the matter with this book? It doesn't need a single small or large thing, any event that we do, except that it is recorded. And they will see what they have produced right in front of them, and your Lord oppresses no one. So we are the ones who oppress ourselves. And وَكَفَ بِنَا حَسِبِ النَّعْمِ. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الله يبني المؤمن فيضع عليه كنفة أي سترة ويستره فيقول أتعرف ذنب كذا أتعرف ذنب كذا فيقول نعم أي رب حتى إذا قرره بذنوبه ورأى أنه قد هلك قال قد سترتها عليك في الدنيا وأنا أغفرها لك اليوم فيعطى كتاب حسناته وأما الكفار والمنافقون فينادى بهم على رؤوس الخلائق هؤلاء الذين كذبوا على ربهم ألا لعنة الله على الظالمين. متفق عليه. Another hadith which was narrated by both Bukhari and Muslim, may Allah have mercy on them, is a hadith of Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah Azza wa Jal will bring the believer on the Day of Judgment near to him, and then Allah will shelter him and he will screen him away from the creation where no one will be able to hear the conversation. Then Allah Azza wa Jal will tell the servant, do you remember such and such sin? Do you remember the sins that you have committed? And you remember this one and that one, and they will be enumerated. Then the servant will say, Ay Rabb, my Lord, yes I do. Until Allah will make him confess to all of his sins. And then the hadith says, وَرَأَى أَنَّهُ قَدْ هَلَكَ. And the person will think that he is destroyed. One of us will think that he is destroyed. After Allah will mention all of the sins that we have committed, we will think that خَلَص. All this is being mentioned, maybe we forgot about them. We will be reminded of them on the Day of Judgment. The hadith says, right when he thinks that he is destroyed, Allah will tell him, I have concealed them for you in the dunya. Meaning, I kept them between me and you. The creation didn't know about them. And today I shall forgive you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the servant, today you will be forgiven, and he will be given the book of his good deeds in his right hand. he will be given the book of his good deeds. So the people, when they see him, they will think he only had good deeds. They will not know about the bad deeds, as it comes in the sharh of this hadith, because Allah will conceal it from the creation and Allah will forgive them. So he will not be held accountable for them. The only thing that will remain is the good deeds. So, but this is for the who? For the mu'min, for the believer, the one who is striving. Not everyone will be qualified for this, because we know that Muslims will be entering Jahannam, wal-iyadu billah. So then not every Muslim is going to have this particular scenario where his sins will be forgiven. Rather, some of us will be brought to account and our sins will outweigh our good deeds and we will be taken to Jahannam, wal-iyadu billah. But if we die with the proper aqidah, if we never worship other than Allah, and we die in this particular fashion, then one day we will be taken out from Jahannam because of Islam being sound, aqidah being sound, which is the most important thing in our life, the belief system. But we don't want to take a chance on that. As we always say, people take it lightly. Oh, alhamdulillah, if I'm a Muslim and I go to Jahannam, then I go to Jannah, no mushkila. Say, there's a big mushkila, man. How are you going to go to Jahannam? Do you really want to try for even an hour? You know, do we know the intensity of Jahannam? It will be dealt with eventually. But it's something that is not really a joke. So we don't want to take a chance. And we have this life. And we have the chance to save ourselves today. And all that we have to do is obey Allah and His Messenger. It's simple indeed. For whomever Allah makes it simple to. But we may be turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may be turning away from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We may be thinking we are self-sufficient. We don't need to follow the Quran and the sunnah. Allah ghafoor raheem. These are all misconceptions among the Muslims today. Misconceptions, misunderstandings of the deen. Everybody, they have misunderstood the quality of maghfirah or ghafoor, al-raheem. So they base their whole life on that. And Allah says in the Quran, نَبِّ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ. Inform my servants, Allah telling the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inform my servants that indeed I am the most merciful, I am the most forgiving, the most merciful, and that my punishment is the most severe punishment. So there's a balance there, you know? Yes, Allah غَفُورُ رَحِيمُ, but Allah is also severe in punishment. And so we should be mindful of both. The same way we depend on the mercy of Allah and His forgiveness, we should also be mindful of Allah's punishment, so we don't expose ourselves to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then, he would be given his deeds, his book of deeds in his right in his hand. وَأَمَّا الْكُفَّارُ وَالْمُنَافِقُونَ. As for the disbelievers and the hypocrites, then it would be called, they would be exposed among the creation. And then the people will say, verily it is those who have lied against Allah. No doubt the curse of Allah is upon the wrongdoers, the polytheists and the oppressors. This was the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the division of the people on the Day of Judgment. A believer whom Allah will conceal his sins, forgive them on that day and permit him to Jannah, and a mukafir or a munafiq who will be exposed in front of everyone that this person lied against Allah and they said something about Allah that does not befit His Majesty, and then they will be dealt with accordingly. وصح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن من هم بحسنة فعملها كتبها الله عنده عشر حسنات إلى 700 ضعف إلى أضعاف كثيرة وأن من هم بسيئة فعملها كتبها الله سيئة واحدة. It has also been authentically attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, whoever intends to do a good deed, just the intention, a niyyah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he does it, Allah will give it to him equal to 10 deeds, up to 700 more, wa adhafin kathira ila adhafa kathira, many, many more. Yani one deed could be 10 times minimum, up to 700 times multiplied, and up to a lot more than that. It depends on sincerity, it depends on the condition of the doer during that time. All these are relevant in terms of the reward being multiplied. So the person who has 50,000 riyals and he gives 1,000 riyals in sadaqah is not like the one who has 3,000 riyals and he gives 500 riyals in sadaqah. Both will be rewarded if their niyyah was sound, but obviously one will be multiplied more because of his condition. He is in need of money and he is still giving charity. The other one, it doesn't make a difference whether it is 1,000 or more or less. His money is so much that it doesn't affect his budget. So all these are relevant into the concept of the multiplication of deeds, whether they are multiplied in terms of being much, much more than what we be expecting. And whoever intends to do a bad deed and he does it, then it will only be written as a bad deed. This particular hadith is an explanation to the verse that was mentioned earlier. وَقَدْ أَجْمَعَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ عَلَى إِثْبَاتِ الْحِجَابِ وَالْجَزَاءِ عَلَى الْأَعْمَالِ وَهُوَ مُقْتَدَى الْحِكْمَةِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَنزَلَ الْكُتُبَ وَأَرْسَلَ الرُّسُلَ وَفَرَضَ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ قَبُولُ مَا جَاءُوا بِهِ وَالْعَمَلُ بِمَا يَجِبُ الْعَمَلُ بِهِ مِنْهُ وَأَوْجَبَ قِتَالُ الْمُعَارِضِينَ لَهُ وَأَحَلَّ دِمَاءَهُمْ وَذُرِّيَّاتَهُمْ وَنِسَاءَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ. And the Muslims have unanimously agreed about the confirmation of the accountability and reward or recompense and reckoning for deeds. And it is also what the wisdom necessarily implies, because Allah Azza wa Jalla has sent down the books and He sent the messengers, and He made it obligatory upon the servants to accept what the messengers were given and that they should act in accordance with these deeds. Furthermore, He made it compulsory to fight against those who oppose it. Those who oppose it. And He made lawful their blood, their souls, and their offspring, and their women, and their wealth. Allah made it lawful for the Prophet Muhammad and those who opposed him, when they were invited to Islam, when they were given the chance to enter into the deen of the haqq, the deen al-haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only they refused, but they also tried to terminate the Prophet and demolish the Muslims and eliminate them from this earth. So Allah legislated that they are to be fought back accordingly. And Allah made lawful for everything that belongs to them. So the Shaykh said, فَلَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ حِسَابُ وَلَا جَزَاءَ لَكَانَ هَذَا مِنَ الْعَبَثِ. If there was no accountability and recompense, then this will be in vain. It's impossible that Allah will allow all this to happen. He will send the messengers, give him revelation, make it obligatory upon us to follow them. Those who oppose are to be fought against, and then all this in vain. He said this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most wise, is to be glorified above. From that particular imperfection, to claim that Allah did all this in vain, meaning without any purpose. وَقَدْ أَشَارَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِلَى ذَلِكَ بِقَوْلِهِ فَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الَّذِينَ أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الْمُرْسَلِينَ فَلَنَقُصَّنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ بِعِلْمٍ وَمَا كُنَّا غَائِبِينَ. Allah says, verily we shall ask those whom the messengers were sent to, and we shall ask the messengers as well, then we shall narrate to them based on knowledge, and we were not absent. Allah Azza wa Jal knows every single thing that occurs in between the heavens and the earth in this particular universe. Nothing happens except by the will of Allah and the knowledge of Allah. And it has been written bil lawh al mahfuz, in the preserved tablets with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single thing has been pre-decreed by Allah. Nothing happens outside the dominion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, الإيمان بالجنة والنار. So the first one is Ba'ath, resurrection. The second one is accountability and reward, or reckoning and recompense. And thirdly, believe in Jannah and Nar, paradise and the hellfire. May Allah protect us from the hellfire. وَأَنَّهُمَا الْمَآلِ الْأَبَدِي لِلْخَلْقِ, that they are the final abode for the creation. فالجنة دار النعيم التي أعدها الله تعالى للمؤمنين المتقين. Jannah is the dwelling of pleasure and delight that Allah has prepared for His pious believing servants. Notice المتقين. And if you read any of the verses in the Quran, Jannah is always promised to the muttaqeen. Inna lilmuttaqeena mafaza. And so many verses. Jannah is for the muttaqeen, not for anyone else. So are we among the muttaqeen? Allah musta'an. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِمَا أَوْجَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالْإِيمَانِ بِهِ. Those who believe in whatever Allah has made compulsory for them to believe in. وَقَامُوا بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. And they fulfilled the obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مخلصين لله متبعين لرسوله, sincere to Allah while following the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. And we said these are the two conditions for the deed to be accepted, for the sake of Allah and according to the way of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. فيها من أنواع النعيم ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. In Jannah, it has so many delightful things that the hadith, al-hadith al-Qudsi, Allah says, أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ, I have prepared for my righteous servants what no eye has ever seen. Now, I'm sure sometimes you get in the emails some images of some natural scenes or scenery, some beautiful mountains or some waterfall or some rivers, yani some flower blooming, amazing, huh? Sometimes you see, I mean, wonders in some simple image of the creation of Allah. And more than that, whatever is pleasing to the eye. وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ, and you may hear beautiful recitation of the Qur'an. I'm not going to say hearing anything else, because we know that the ruling pertaining to hearing other things, what Islam, you know, if you have a question about that, we can deal with it after the death, in terms of listening to music and listening to singing of, you know, that is not within the context of the sunnah, which is some little girls singing on a wedding, you know, or some nasheed that is not the way it is being done today, where you have a video clip and they have a nasheed star and a nasheed band, and it's just like, you know, a band, but they call it Islamic nasheed, although it is very much like singing. These things are actually not among the things that we listen to. So we're speaking about listening to beautiful things such as the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being recited, or some poetry, which is what nasheed men do in the time of the Sahaba. They used to do nasheed, but how did they do nasheed? Do you think Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would stand in front on a stage, and he would have Umar and Uthman and Ali behind him, be in the chorus in the background, and he would start, you know, singing in a soft manner like a woman, and then, you know, he has an album that he releases, and everybody runs around and, you know, buys them, say, oh, mashallah, I love Allah and His Messenger. And, you know, you hear some strange things nowadays, but in essence, nasheed huwa inshad al-shi'r, it is the recitation of poetry, which happened during the time of the Prophet ﷺ in his presence by one of the companions. So we cannot deny that, but what is the definition of nasheed is what we need to look into today, because many people are calling it nasheed although it is not nasheed. So anyways, what no eye has ever seen, what no ear has ever heard, and has never come across a human's mind, this is what Allah has prepared for the righteous servants in Jannah. So all the scenes that you have seen, it's nothing like Jannah. All the beautiful things you've heard, it's nothing like Jannah. And even more than that, whatever you have ever imagined, now sometimes our imagination is way beyond reality, right? I mean, in reality, you're limited. But when you imagine, no one can stop you. Huh? You can imagine anything. You can imagine flying and going down. You can imagine mountains of food. You go eat whatever you want. I mean, you know, imagination is something that is wide. The hadith says, and no one has ever imagined. Yani, even if you stay from today until you die, not only that, until the day of judgment, imagining what Jannah is like, it's not like that. It is more than that. And it is the everlasting, eternal resting place for the believers. And today is the work. Today, it's a job. And Jannah is the salary. You work today, you get paid at the end of the month. You play around, huh? You come late to work every day, you call in sick, you don't do your job. Guess what? They may fire you, or they may not pay you, or they may give you an exit visa. And, you know, we know the consequences nowadays. So in reality, this is what it is. It's a test. So we can do the job properly, and then we would be enjoying this Jannah, بإذن الله عز وجل. And you never have to worry about fulus, and never have to worry about work, never have to worry about your family, protection of the... All the stress that we have today, it's troublesome. We have so many things to worry about. Our health, our wealth, our family, our children, education, and the list goes on. In Jannah, you don't have to worry about anything ever again. Khalas, it's over. And as soon as you die, you may be there. You know, you're already at the doorstep. You know, the grave, if you're a righteous brother, is the doorstep. And you will be seeing, you'll see your place in Jannah from the grave. A window will be opened for you. And you can see, you can smell its fragrance. Oh, the only thing is pending is the Day of Judgment. And Allah says that on the Day of Judgment, the people will be asked, how long did you stay? They say, yawman aw ba'da yawm. A day or part of a day. Which includes the time in the grave. So the whole thing will be like nothing. Soon enough, a person will be in Jannah. If he obeys Allah and His Messenger today. And we, the only thing we do blindly is obedience. We don't do anything else blindly. Everything we use our mind to understand. The only thing where we need to close our eyes and do is obedience to Allah and His Messenger. Whether we understand or we don't understand, this is irrelevant. Because you may not understand, but someone else does. So you cannot impose your understanding based on implementation or not. Our job is, the Prophet ﷺ said, do this, case closed. Wallahi, if you want to go to Jannah like that easily, then we must be blindly following the Quran and the Sunnah that easily. The hadith says such, don't elaborate, just do. Wallah, wajib, mustahab, otherwise, none of your business. If you want to be an alim, learn. If you have committed wrong and you want to know whether you need to pay something as an expiation, so you need to know whether it was haram or makruh, no problem asking. But the Sahaba did not have this methodology. O Messenger of Allah, is this mustahab or is it wajib? He never asked that. When he did something, they did it. When he said something, they did it. The scholars later on had to divide that into wajib, mustahab, makruh, muharram, due to the necessity for the people, because now people had to know how to deal with things. But in the early generations, they only had sami'na wa ata'na, as Allah described them in the Quran. Sami'na wa ata'na, nothing else. If you want to follow their footsteps, then you will also have your slogan in your life, sami'na wa ata'na. We listen, we obey. Wallahi, it is easy if we wake up from our sleep. It's easy. What else do you want? Everything has been given to you on a silver platter. Just do. It's not like you have to figure out the ruling. The ruling is available. It's about putting it into practice. So this is mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to go to Jannah, akhi, I don't know, would you be here in this masjid if you didn't want to go to Jannah? We didn't come here for anything else. And we have the ability, practical solution. But look at ourselves, how we turn away. Now we're listening to this reminder. Then when we go home, and tomorrow, each one of us, let him evaluate itself. And see how after we hear the reminder, we still turn away. Except those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides. I hope that we'll be among those who are guided. طيب. قال الله تعالى إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أولئك هم خير البرية جزاؤهم عند ربهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه ذلك لمن خشي ربه. Allah says verily those who believe and do righteous deeds, which indicates that it's not only belief, you must do work. These are the best of creation. This is in opposition to the kuffar. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. Those are the worst of the creation, the kuffar. The believers, they are the best of the creation. Their reward with their Lord shall be gardens of Adan, جنات عدن, under which rivers flow. They will remain there, abide there eternally. Allah is pleased with them, and they are with Him. And this is to he who fears his Lord. وَذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ رَبَّهِ. This is only for the one who fears Allah. So when you fear Allah, you're always mindful of Allah. Huh? It's not only dhikr, holding a sabha, saying subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. That's a form of dhikr. But the real dhikr that it will benefit us in the ultimate sense is remembering. Dhikr is remembering, by the way. يَتَذَكَّر is remembering Allah. All the time. When you're about to do something wrong, huh? You say, oh, time out. Allah is watching me. How am I going to do this? That's what Rasul said, the fornicator does not fornicate while iman is with him. And the thief does not steal while iman is with him. Iman goes away. Had he believed, how are you going to do it? How are you going to dare to do it while Allah is watching you? You'll be ashamed. If you're not ashamed, you'll be afraid of His punishment. What if Allah punished you in this dunya? If you're not afraid of the punishment of the dunya, then you will be afraid of the punishment of the hereafter. When you don't think about any of these three, Meaning we're not really mindful of Allah. We don't have dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is for the one who fears Allah, meaning remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anytime we're about to commit a sin, you remember Allah. You go late to work and you write down on the punching card, you know, you're about to write that you came in at 8 o'clock and you came at 8:15, you remember Allah is watching you. You know that when you put that 8:00, Allah is watching you. And He will be asking you about lying on the Day of Judgment. So because you have dhikr of Allah, you put the right time. I came at 8:15. But to come into the work, we're saying, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, and then you bump, you write the wrong time. Is this a person remembering Allah? This may be istihza, mockery. You're remembering Allah and then you don't care. You deliberately, you know, lie and sin. So, you know, we must understand the dhikr in the right context. We're not saying don't remember Allah, subhanAllah. We should remember Allah all the time. Istighfar and dhikr. But the most important remembrance is the one of the brain. Remembering Allah in the sense that we are afraid of His punishment and looking forward for His reward. This was Surah Al-Bayna, verses 7 and 8. وَقَالَ اللَّهُ وَقَالَ تَعَالَى فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ Surah Al-Sajdah, the prostration, verse 17, Allah says, so no soul knows what has been hidden for it from the pleasure of the eye, from pleasure and joy, reward as a reward for that which they used to do. وَأَمَّا النَّارُ As for the hellfire, فهي دار العذاب التي أعدها الله تعالى للكافرين الظالمين. It is the place of dwelling and punishment that Allah has prepared for the belying, oppressive wrongdoers. الذين كفروا به وعصوا رسله. Those who disbelieved in Him and disobeyed His messengers. And that includes the Christians and the Jews and the Hindus and the Buddhists and the atheists and the agnostics and every other religion on earth. All of them fall under this particular category. The only ones that are not are the Muslims. After the Prophet Muhammad has been sent and Islam has been conveyed, everyone is a disbeliever unless they embrace Islam. Because some people have a misunderstanding, they think that the other people, they do good, so they're also believers. No, no, no. Once they rejected the Prophet Muhammad, these people are disqualified from Iman. And we mentioned this, that disbelieving in one messenger entails disbelief in all. فيها من أنواع العذاب والنكال ما لا يقدر على البال. In the hellfire, there are so many different variation and different kinds of punishment and revenge from Allah that you cannot even imagine. You will not even be able to imagine. قال الله تعالى واتقوا النار التي أعدت للكافرين. And protect yourselves from the fire that has been prepared for the disbelievers. وقال تعالى وقل الحق من ربكم فمن شاء فليؤمن ومن شاء فليكفر إنا أعتدنا للظالمين نارا أحاط بهم سرادقها وأن يستغيثوا يغاثوا بماء كالمهل يشوي الوجوه بئس الشراب وساءت مرتفقا. Allah says, and say this is the truth from your Lord. So whoever wishes, intends to believe, then let him believe. And whoever intends to disbelieve, then he may disbelieve. Verily we have prepared for the wrongdoers the hellfire by which they will be surrounded. They'll have a wall that will be surrounding them. They cannot go out. They cannot go out. وَإِن يَسْتَغِيثُوا And if they seek help, يُغَاثُوا بِمَا They will be given as help water, boiling hot water. تَشْوِي الْوُجُوهِ It will burn their faces. يعني the water is so hot that when they drink it, their faces will burn and melt. تَشْوِي الْوُجُوهِ بِئْسَ الشَّرَابِ What an evil drink or drink. وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقَ And what a terrible ending or dwelling for the inhabitants of the hellfire. وَقَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَعَنَ الْكَافِرِينَ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ سَعِيرًا Verily Allah has cursed the disbelievers and He prepared for them سَعِيرًا جَهَنَّمْ the hellfire. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا لَا يَجِدُونَ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا They will abide therein eternally and they will find no protector or no helper. يَوْمَ تُقَلَّبُ وُجُوهُمْ فِي النَّارِ On the day where their faces will be overturned in the fire. يَقُولُونَ يَا لَيْتَنَا أَطَعْنَا اللَّهَ وَأَطَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ They will say, oh, only had we only obeyed Allah and had we only obeyed the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this could be applicable to us Muslims. On that day, a person will say, I wish I had only obeyed Allah and obeyed His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was Surah Al-Ahzab verse 64 and 66. And then inshallah we'll postpone the continuation of this particular discussion till next week if we all remain alive, dealing with the belief in what will happen after death, from dealing with the grave and the fitna of the grave and the other things that are relevant to this particular discussion. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد جزاكم الله خيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.